What happens when the mind can no longer make sense of the world around it? When a stroke, brain injury, or dementia makes everyday tasks feel impossible? In this episode of Occupational Therapy Conversations, we are going to dive into cognitive perceptual frame of reference. This is a powerful approach that helps us understand and support people when thinking and perception are disrupted. We'll explore how pioneers like Joan Toglia, Beatrice Abreu, and Lowenstein shaped the way occupational therapists work with cognition and perception, from neglect after a stroke to memory loss in dementia. We'll unpack how OTSS retrain and adapt to restore independence and safety in daily life. Join us as we connect theory with real practice and discover how a shift in thinking can transform everyday occupations. Hello, welcome, and kumusta? Thank you for joining me. This is How, your occupational therapist, and welcome to Occupational Therapy Conversations. In this episode, I'd like us to have a discussion about cognitive perceptual frame of reference in occupational therapy. What is it? The cognitive perceptual frame of reference, this is a rehabilitation model used by occupational therapists in particular to understand, to assess, and to treat difficulties with thinking and perception. So cognition, meaning there is a problem with thinking, and there are problems with perception, meaning interpreting sensory information. And it assumes that when these functions are disrupted, particularly by conditions such as stroke, brain injury, dementia, amongst many other things, daily living and occupational performance are affected. So when it comes to the theoretical basis of this model, there are a few that are considered. It came from this few of these theoretical bases, particularly the information processing model is one. And this is how the brain receives, interprets, how it stores and uses information. So you see, that's information processing. So very much cognitive. Okay, and very much in line with psychology as well, with education as well. And another theoretical basis is the neuropsychology and learning theory, where cognitive functions can be retrained. It believes that cognitive functions can be retrained, or it can be compensated for or adapted. And another one is the systems approach. And in here, in a systems approach, it's believed that cognition and perception, they are not isolated, and they will affect motor, emotional, and functional performance. Okay, these are the theoretical basis for this. What are the key concepts of this? Cognition. You'll hear about perception, and you'll hear about the functional impact. When it comes to cognition, you're talking about the memory, a person's attention, their problem-solving skills. Executive functioning is another. Sequencing, organization. All of the things that you would do when you're building arts and crafts or when you're doing anything, really. So that's cognition. Perception is a foundation of the cognition. So perception is another key concept in here, where you talk about visual spatial awareness, the body schema, depth perception, object recognition, form constancy, right and left discrimination. Okay, love it. And then the other one is the functional impact, where errors in ADL's safety risks will then reduce the independence of the person. When it comes to the cognitive perceptual frame of references, you are likely to use certain assessment tools or evaluation tools, one of which is LOTCA, the Lowenstein Occupational Therapy Cognitive Assessment. Love this. This is the first one that I have encountered that claims that you can use it with somebody who has aphasia. This is the cognitive assessment that has that it excludes, that you can use it for somebody who has aphasia. LOTCA, popular, and it's just most people don't know about it, but it's about, you can buy the manual, you can buy the kit, read the manual, and you can start to implement it. Rivermead Perceptual Battery Assessment. You have the MOCA, that's the most recent one. And then you can also have functional observations in terms of the ADLs. When you're thinking about intervention and approaches, there are two main schools of intervention when it comes to cognitive perceptual frame of references. And this is very much in line with rehabilitation, right? So you have the remedial or the restorative approach. And the other one would be the compensatory or the adaptive approach. The remedial or the restorative is you're trying to fix the problem. It aims to restore the lost function of the person through, how do you do this? Practices and exercises. You just do it over and over and over and over again. And when you do this, then you are remediating the cognitive impairment, the attentional impairment, the concentration. How do you do this? Do memory drills, visual scanning exercises, particularly for those people who has neglect. Visual scanning, problem-solving tasks. And the compensatory and adaptive approach will aim to bypass the deficit by adapting the task or the environment. So you adapt straight away. You can't deal much with the individual's cognition. You can't restore it. You can't resolve it. And so you have to adapt to it. And examples of this would be using of checklists, using of labels, step-by-step written instruction where the person can just write things down as we go. And then you can use adaptive equipment in here, environmental modifications, alarm systems. We as occupational therapists, often we are blending these approaches depending on the patient's potential and the context. Meaning, the context, if you are in an acute hospital, you cannot quickly do restorative approaches because it takes time. You cannot do cognitive rehab because cognitive rehab has to be done over and over and over again. So sometimes on the initial phase of the condition after a stroke, you have to do a adaptive approach, get them home, give supportive intervention, get people to come in. And once you're at home, then do as much as you can. For stroke, for example, get them home, get the support from family and some carers. But if you're an ESD working with stroke patients, then you have the time. You don't have to worry about discharge planning now because the person is at home. Then your focus should be on the restorative intervention. Then you can do all of these exercises. I hope we're clear with that. What would be the role of occupational therapy in this approach? First is we have an education and awareness role whereby we are helping patients and their families to understand the cognitive perceptual issues. What are these concerns? These will always be shown and presented as confusion, but it may not be confusion. It will always present as confusion, but you can always analyze what's causing the problem. As occupational therapists, we are task-based therapy. And when you do this, you are embedding cognitive perceptual training into real occupations, like cooking, dressing, managing medication. Like I said, guys, anything you do matters and has an outcome. Do it over and over again, and it will get there. Environmental adaptation is another one on how this influences us. We are ensuring the safety of the person's home environment. We can ensure safety at the workplace or in the community. How do we do this in terms of safety? We can think about stove timers, contrasting colors for object detection. But you need to be at home. The therapy needs to take place at home. And with OT, we have a collaborative role when we're dealing with this, particularly when we're dealing with neuropsychologists, when they're about, yes, that's their concern too, but ours is more about the function. And we're there because, again, it's a system approach, isn't it? It is, what did we call it earlier on? It is a systems approach, meaning all systems are attached with one another and it's influencing one another. So psychology definitely is linked with thinking, and then thinking, when you function, when you do your day-to-day things, you need to think. Yeah, speech therapists is another one, and some physiotherapists. I've encountered a few physiotherapists who has particular interest in this. But this is perception. This is cognition. I'd say if you deal more with the physical side of things, all these physical movement will stimulate the brain in a wonderful way. So my recommendation for physios, stick with the physical because it has an influence with cognition. That way we're not doing the same things. Nowadays, there are these things, approaches where people are like selling. What do you call this? Apps, visual perceptual apps that you need to subscribe. And they would package this in a different way. And, you know, one physiotherapist asked me if I believe in this. It's like, yeah, I've seen that before. But this time around, I've seen that these apps in a paper-based approach and treatment. Now it's being sold on apps where you just tap. But paper-based is always more effective because there's more tactile nature to it. You can spread it across a wider range in terms of the visual field, right? But anyways, there we go. Collaborative responsibilities. So let's look at this in terms of action, for example. Example in action. Say you have somebody who's had a stroke with a left neglect or inattention. If you're doing a remedial approach with left inattention, you just do some scanning practice from left to right, practicing finding objects, moving around the visual field, locating, spotting, locating. Yeah. But if you're doing compensatory strategies, then you need to place the important items on the right side. And you can use auditory cues or verbal cues. And then in terms of the functional context, then just practice getting changed, getting dressed, meal prep, all of these strategies. When you get dressed, all of these are working. The perception, the cognition, the visual spatial task, body scheme, and movement. So it's a beautiful intervention. So what am I saying really? Cognitive perceptual frame of reference will help occupational therapists assess how a person is thinking, and it will help an OT assess how a person thinks, and it will assess the perception impact function. Then OTs can use a mix of retraining and compensation to maximize the independence, the safety and the participation in meaningful occupation. So the next thing is, what conditions? When is this applicable? How is this applicable? Or when would you use cognitive perceptual frame of reference? It is most useful when a person's ability to think, plan, or interpret sensory information is disrupted. And it usually happens after neurological conditions or in situations where cognition and perception directly affect daily function. Delirium, isn't it? Is very much there. And you have delirium. What other conditions are there? Neurological conditions. Stroke. What common issues in stroke? Those who has neglect. Those who has apraxia. Those who has visuospatial deficits. Those who has memory problems. Those who has executive dysfunction. Again, most of the time, they would, if somebody's in critical care, they'd point this out as delirium, isn't it? Head injury. What symptoms in head injury? Those who has problems with attention, memory, problem solving, sequencing, awareness deficits. Again, it's a symptom on a very basic level. If it's not head injury, it just happens. Delirium, isn't it? Brain tumors. As long as it affects the brain, you can have pre and post surgical cognitive impairment. Multiple sclerosis, when you have fluctuating fatigue, processing speed, visual perceptual changes. You have this with multiple sclerosis. Same with Parkinson's disease. What can go wrong with Parkinson's disease? Executive function can be impaired. Visuospatial, attention difficulties, the ability to respond quickly. Dementia, Alzheimer's, Lewy body, vascular, judgment impaired, orientation, memory, perceptual disturbances, these are there. What about in some conditions like respiratory and cardiac care context? Will this be applicable? Yes. For those who's had hypoxic brain injury, where people have difficulty with engaging, cognitive engagement because of prolonged ventilation, ICU patients. Again, it'll all be masked by what we call nowadays as delirium. Most recently, long COVID, yeah, or chronic respiratory conditions where there is a brain fog, there's attentional difficulty, memory difficulties, yeah? Those are some of the conditions. What about those who has mental health and psychiatric conditions? Can you use this? Yes, you can. Those who has schizophrenia, for example, where there is cognitive dysfunction or there's attentional problem, executive functioning, depression, where a person has slow processing as well, you can use that. From an OT perspective, you would select cognitive perceptual frame of reference when there is a neurological insult in the brain. And it is, you know, like these neurological insults is expected to have disrupted the information processing of the person. If the functional independence is reduced because of perceptual errors or cognitive dysfunction, yeah, you use that. So you either decide when you have the time, is it compensatory, is it remediation? Those are the two things that you need to use for. Really, the use of these frame of reference, you can use this in any situation where thinking, awareness, problem solving, or perception will impair the patient's functional independence or safety. Okay? And who should we be giving credits to this? the key proponents for these frame of reference. There's no particular proponent for the cognitive perceptual frame of reference because it's a group effort as compared to the model of human occupation where it's Gary Kilhoffner, or the PEO where it'll be Mary Law and her and peers. So there are proper proponents for this. This is like educational. It's almost like biomechanical. This is the equivalent of biomechanical, but only for the brain. So it is developed out of neuropsychology and and occupational therapy practice. And did you know when? Back in the 70s onward. So it's been the attention of occupational therapists in the 70s. Yeah. This, if you're an OT in the 60s and 70s, this would be the type of things that we would be, this would be the bread and butter. That's why it's highly regarded. Until nowadays, where everything's just been masked by occupation and engagement, and everything is all about doing, 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 and they have forgotten the science behind the doing. Oh, now I'm ranting. Okay, who are the influential theorists? Joan Toglia, she developed the dynamic interaction model, 1989. And in here, there is an emphasis on metacognition, self-awareness, the role of the environment, and the task in cognitive rehabilitation. And her work is central to the cognitive perceptual frame of reference. That's why if you look at the Trombley Occupational Therapy for Physical Dysfunction, Toglia would be mostly the reference for that one in terms of the cognition. You also have Abreu and Peloquin, 1980s. They have advocated for applying neuropsychological and learning theories to OT cognitive rehab. And they've highlighted the importance of functional activities for retraining cognition. Beatrice Abreu, in the 90s, she worked on cognitive rehabilitation in brain injury and contributed heavily to integrating cognitive theories into OT practice. Now, we must not forget about Lowenstein and colleagues. Yeah, they're the ones that have developed LOTCA, Lowenstein Occupational Therapy Cognitive Assessment. Look this up, guys. This is beautiful. Nowadays, people will just make their own assessments, and then a new assessment came about. What was the most recent one that? Falstein MMSE. Yeah. And then they started charging for it, and you can't use it. And then the ACE-3, Addenbrooke's Cognitive Evaluation, that was ACE, and then ACE-R. And the reason why it's ACE-R, because they have revised, because the Falstein MMSE, they say it's copyright. And so there was a challenge copyright in there. So they changed it into a revised version and then third edition, but it's pretty much the same. It asks the same questions. Yeah. What others? And then most recently, Mocha. Mocha was out. It's beautiful until they started charging for it. And now there is this OSCOGS that's coming out. Everybody's asking the same questions, but cognition is cognition. You can actually pick and match to do that. But anyways, I digress. We will do that some other point. You know, I'll ask you. We'll do some sessions about that on how to make our own cognitive assessment. Anne Fisher is another one. And who's Anne Fisher? She developed the assessment of motor and process skills, which is AMPS. And it links the cognitive perceptual skills to occupational performance. This is amazing. Because AMPS is basically an activity analysis. Step by step, you describe how the person is doing it on a step-by-step basis. And you have to pay to learn how to do this. You get your certificate, right? And don't forget about Jean Ayres, which would have been an earlier influence. Jean Ayres was the earlier influence in this. Through she's much more known to sensory integration theory, and her work influenced how OTs view perception and information processing as foundational to occupation, right? So OT approaches that grew out of this would have been the dynamic interactional approach. See, I have not heard or used these terms for a long time. This is Toglia's dynamic interactional approach. Beautiful word, isn't it? It's unique selling point just by that. And what is dynamic interactional approach? It focuses on awareness, strategy, training, generalization across context. You have Toglia, and again, 1991, multi-context approach, practicing cognitive strategies in different tasks. And then when you do it in one place, then you get carry it over on a different context. So that's generalization of learning. You have Giles in 1991, neurofunctional approach. This is more for severe brain injury. It emphasizes the training in real world routines through repetition. Now, isn't that MOHO as well? Where you do performance and habits? And this is the one which, again, it's been a long time since I've encountered this. It's Abreu and Peloquin in 1987. It's called the quadraphonic approach, where it uses micro, which is neuropsychological, and macro, which is functional and environmental perspectives. Of the lot, the most recognized proponent for this is Joan Toglia. Yeah. And all of them, they shape the OTs today, and it's now referred to as cognitive perceptual frame of reference. Well, there you go, guys. I hope you learned a little something today. This is beautiful. It's been there. And it's something that we use. It's something that is available. It's one of the tools of occupational therapy. Just do it and analyze all the activities that you do. There will always be an influence on perception, sensation, cognition, yeah, and motor. That's why in the core input that I have developed, one major restorative intervention of OT is either you can have sessions where you do cognitive, perceptual, sensory, or motor assessment and treatment. It's all that. Generically, when you're doing all of these approaches, you're treating cognitive perceptual. It's cognitive perceptual frame of reference. And you may call it the lots of new approaches. You might call it, what was that? Quadraphonic. Dynamic interactional model, for example. But the generic one is cognitive perceptual. Well, I hope you learned a little something today, guys. If you did and you enjoyed this, talk to your friends about it. Pass on what you have learned. Teach others. Learn together. Grow together. Over a cup of tea. Just remember, anything you do matters and has an outcome. Until next time, bye.